Are you ready to ride? It's time to get on the airship again. In the studio, we have our co-host, co-pilot, Miss Tammy. How are you doing tonight, Tammy?
I'm great, Roy. How are you tonight?
Just fine. And we have our in-flight engineer over there and navigator, Mr. Sean Wilson. How are you doing tonight, Sean?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
And we have with us tonight the wonderful, talented, and beautiful Miss Leona X. How are you?
Hey, doing good. Gosh, you're so complimentary. Thank you.
Yeah, I got to suck up a little bit.
That's the least we can do for our guests.
Yeah. But I'm definitely being honest. So anybody that's out there listening, if you haven't checked her out yet, definitely go check her out. Pretty amazing stuff. So how you doing tonight? How's the weather out there? We're freezing.
We're freezing, too. It's cold here, too. It hasn't snowed yet, but I'm expecting it any day now. And being a Las Vegas girl, desert rat, I'm not really used to it, but I'm going to try.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit before the show about where you're at. You're out in Washington and actually in a town I used to live in. And I remember when I lived there, it snowed 3 inches one day and they closed down the schools. Here, it's got to snow 3 feet and you're still going to go to school.
Yeah. It doesn't. We don't close school until the snow's like at epic proportions. So.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't that funny? So true.
You know, when I was growing up in Texas, 1 year, we got half of an inch of snow, and the entire town lost its shit. They didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah, just wait till it snows there and stand on a street corner, and you can count the number of cars that go crashing into each other when they slam on their brakes and trying to stop, and they just pile up all four directions. It's really comical. It's pretty comical. We know how to drive in that stuff out here. We drive in it 9 months out of the year. But
yeah. Well, at least for after the first three snowfalls, and then we collectively remember, oh, yeah, this is how you're supposed to drive.
Yep. We remember. So, God, I've been following you for a while. First time I got a hold of you was sometime around, I don't know, August, September, something like that, and started looking at got your career and your music and everything. I was really impressed and got together with you about being on the show. So, tell us, where'd you start out with your music? What are some of your inspirations and some of your heroes?
Oh, gosh, there's so many of them. Trying to go back and remember that exact moment. I actually do remember it, and I'll never forget. It was the first time that I heard AC/DC. And I had grown up listening to country music because that's what my mother listened to. And one day we were in the car driving and Highway to Hell came on. And it was the first time I heard rock. And I don't know what it was, but I was just instantly drawn to it. And I was never the same again after that. So after that, I had to find out who it was, and I did. And went and bought the album and just fell in love with Angus Young's guitar tone. I don't know what it was, but there was something about it that just grabbed me. And then I started just becoming even more and more of a fan the more I listened to them, and just became completely obsessed with Angus Young. It's funny, kind of. And but it wasn't one of those, like, schoolgirl crush things, oh, he's so cute, because he's not really that cute.
No.
But he's so amazing, and I just fell in love with his guitar tone, his stage presence, his charisma, and just everything about him, and I just wanted to be just like him. And so that's what made me want to play guitar. He was the one that inspired me and the reason why I started playing guitar, because I wanted to be just like him. And then over the years, you know, I became a fan of many other guitar players, and eventually developed into my own thing. At first I was emulating him a lot, you know, because they were the first songs that I attempted learning. And so naturally I picked up, you know, a lot of his style, because he was the first person who I started learning from. But like I said, over the years, I started developing my own thing, and I'm actually influenced by a lot of other guitar players that are nothing like him, like Jerry Cantrell. I really love him a lot, too. He's the one that inspired me to start playing wah-wah pedal. So I do that a lot now, too. And also the lead guitar player in Bad Company, as far as guitar players go, but I'm also very, very inspired with more recent artists. Really, really into Hellstorm right now and in this moment. And I think for a lot of reasons, because the songs are great and they rock. But also I have to admit, I am inspired by that female empowerment also, you know? And I'm very thankful for all those female artists before me that have helped to break those walls down and make it possible for someone like me to come along and do what I do.
Yeah, that's definitely one thing about the world of rock and roll music, is that you don't see a lot of female artists. And I think that barrier is starting to be broken down a lot more than it was. And so I applaud you for that, because that's got to be kind of difficult to try and break into something that is so male-dominated.
It is. I have to say, it has its pros and cons. And I feel like there's a lot of great female guitar players, singers, and drummers, you know, all kinds of, lots of great female musicians. It's just that, the amount that actually, you know, make it over that hump, you know, to the point of being recognized is just so much fewer than, our male counterparts, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it definitely does. When I first started listening to you, you know, I'd listen to the guitar. I listened to the music. And, you know, definitely I'm going to listen to that first, because that's what you're going to hear first. In 99% of all the songs out there, it's not going to be the vocals. And then when I heard the vocals, it definitely kind of blew me away. And I got to looking a little bit and saying, who is this person? Doing a little bit of research, checking Reverb Nation. And I'm kind of curious, because you mentioned the people that inspired you, and those being all male, and I am seeing more and more females getting into even a lot of female heavy metal artists and female vocalists in heavy metal, and that's something I never would have seen or heard 10, 15 years ago. And so the women are coming out and showing a presence. What do you think, though, when I read your Reverb Nation page, the first thing that popped up was, if you like Joan Jett or Lita Ford, you will like Leona X. What do you think about being compared to those two?
Oh, gosh. Well, I feel like that's an amazing comparison, because I'm a huge fan. And you know, those were the ladies that, you know, when we talk about the ones that have broken down the walls and opened the doors for us, I mean, they were at the forefront. They're the ones that did it first, you know, and Ann Wilson and Nancy Wilson. I mean, we can go on and on. And to even be the reason it says that, because that was actually a quote that from someone that did a review and said that. So to be compared to them in any way at all is a huge honor for me, because I look up to them just as much as all the others that I mentioned. So yeah, huge compliment. Honestly, I don't feel like that I sound like any of them, but I can certainly see where they would get that from, because they are, you know, some of the ones that made the biggest impact in the music industry, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, when I was looking at everything, it wasn't as much sound or the way you play or anything, it was the attitude of the music. I think that's what got me and said, yeah, I can see that comparison. You know, it's definitely the attitude. Mm-hmm. So what was your first show?
I'm sorry, what?
I was going to ask, what was your first show?
The first...
First time you were on stage that you played.
Oh, well, you're going to love this, because this is actually a really good story. Okay, so my very, very first time ever on stage, and I'm not kidding you, was with AC/DC.
Wow.
Really? Do tell. Inquiring minds want to know.
Absolutely. I perked up the moment you said that. I was like, whoa, hey, that's awesome.
Okay, so kind of going back to the AC/DC story, and I'm sure we'll touch on that a little bit too, because everybody knows that Phil Redd produced the Jaggedy Ann album, but that's another story. But, you know, like I said, when I first started playing, you know, they were my very first influence. I was so crazy about them, I'd actually cry when I went to see them in concert. but never in a million years did I ever even imagine that I would have such close contact with them that I've been lucky enough to have. But how it started was is very interesting. So it was when they were doing their Who Made Who tour, and I don't know if you remember the video that they had for that song. It was all these hundreds of Angus Young lookalikes in the video, you know, jumping around acting like him. And in order to do that song live on the tour, so every city that they went to, about a month before they got there, they would have an Angus Young lookalike contest. and whoever won got the opportunity to go on stage with them and do essentially the same thing as the video, but on live on stage. So I was living in Hollywood at the time, and I heard about this, and I said, I can do that, because, you know, that's how I learned. I learned by emulating Angus. I've got his moves down perfect, you know. So it was at the Whiskey A Go-Go, and but you couldn't really play. You had to pantomime it. So I took my SG down to the Whiskey A Go-Go on Sunset Strip, and I pantomimed Sin City. And I won.
Awesome.
And so what I won was to be able to go on with, I don't know, maybe like 10 other Angus Young lookalikes on stage with AC/DC at Irvine Meadows during their opening song, and to go on there and pantomime the song Who Made Who. So we got to go back there and talk to them backstage and meet them. And then we were directed to go on stage, like follow the band in a line and go to your X. Like they had an X marked with your number on it, and you had to go to your X. And then the curtains opened, and we started going, and the crowd was insane. They were losing their minds, and I remember looking out at the crowd and just thinking, oh my God. And then out of the middle of us came the real Angus in this like hydraulic, you know, lifting machine thing, and they just went insane, and it was like the most craziest feeling ever. And then that was it. That was my first time on stage.
Wow. That's an awesome story.
That is. That's definitely a memorable moment.
Oh, for sure.
I had to put a mime.
So, well, what I was getting to, although that is an amazing story, I don't know how you're going to top it. Playing on stage in front of, you know, playing your own music in front of a crowd, or playing covers or whatever. Where'd you start out playing at?
Oh, okay. Well, that was in Hollywood also. I think the first time that I ever played was at the Troubadour. I don't know if you know where that is.
I know of it.
It's in Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
On the Strip?
Yep. Well, no. The Troubadour is not on the Strip.
Oh, okay.
It's around the corner on another street that's close by the Strip.
Okay.
But
I knew it was in that general area.
Yeah, in that general area. And that's where my first time on stage, it was an all-girl band, and I don't know, I just remember not being too nervous about it. I don't know, I don't really get that nervous about going on stage, but it was a long time ago, so it's kind of hard to remember, but but it was great, it was fun, I loved it.
Cool, so we're going to start rolling through some of your music here in a few, and I think the first one we're going to do is Ready for This. What do you want to tell us about that?
Oh, well, that's one of my favorite songs because I love the energy of it and the attitude, and that was what I was trying to portray, was an attitude and kind of like a kind of a Bon Scott kind of double meaning kind of thing, you know? So I wanted it to basically portray, you know, the energy that I want to, because what I love about playing music and what I try to portray in my songs is I like to make people feel happy and feel really good. I'm not depressed. I'm not sad. I'm not angry. And so I don't write like that. And I'm a pretty happy person. And that's what I want to make people feel. I want my music to make them feel like just having fun and going out and drinking and just driving fast or partying or having sex or just whatever makes you feel good, you know?
All of those things.
Yeah, all of the above.
So that's kind of what that song kind of for me was about, was, you know, doing whatever to make you feel good. And are you ready for this? You know? Yeah.
I know I am. Sean, you ready for this? Tammy, you know what I like about that? It sounds familiar.
It does.
I really like that.
It does sound familiar. You know, it. Oh my God, that's got a great vibe to it. I could see Joan Jett doing that, but not half as good as you could.
Oh. Did it make you feel good? That's what matters.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's full of energy. I like it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I got to be honest. Tonight, actually, ever since I got back, I just got back driving back from Wyoming up to Montana here and feeling kind of like, ugh. Mm-hmm. And that, I don't feel that way right now.
No.
I definitely got some energy
out of that. It was very... I'm kind of the same way tonight, Roy. I'm a little brain dead myself. And... But yeah, that woke me up. That was awesome.
Cool. I'm glad you like it.
So perfect. You were just lucky enough to win Vegas Rocks. And can you tell us about that a little bit? I voted for you definitely when it popped up and shared it with everybody I knew. And so hopefully everybody I shared it with voted for you. Apparently they did because you won. How was that?
I couldn't believe it, to be honest. I was totally shocked. I really seriously wasn't expecting it. And the reason why is because though I am from Las Vegas and I spent a lot of time there, I've been gone for a few years. And so I really felt like, you know, actually 5 years now I had been gone. Mm. And in that time, things have changed so much from when I was there. When I was there, we didn't have Counts Vant or Vegas Rocks Magazine or Raiding the Rock Vault or any of those things that are really reviving the rock industry in Las Vegas. So it was before all that. And then after I left is when all that stuff started happening, and it just seemed like it did a whole complete turnover in every people, the industry itself, and just everything. And so I felt kind of out of touch with it because I had been in the Pacific Northwest. And then I went back for the summer and rebuilt my band and did a handful of shows there. Knowing that, you know, over the last 5 years, even though I was from there, there were other bands that were really, you know, beating down the pavement, you know, and really working hard at making a name for themselves there. And so I really thought that they would have a higher advantage to winning than I would. I really wasn't expecting it because of not being there and being absent. But apparently, I still have a lot of fans there and friends. So I was totally blown away, totally not prepared. This is how much I didn't believe. I didn't prepare any speech whatsoever. So when they called me up there, I think for the first time I was like totally nervous to go on stage because I had no idea what I was going to say. And then when I got up there, I couldn't think of the right things to say. And so I just said what came to my mind, which was thankful to my band, you know, because, and to the people that voted. Then, you know, after that, I started thinking about all the people that I wish I would have thanked, you know. But anyway, it was a really awesome, awesome experience. And I feel so loved and accepted, and I'm just really happy about it.
Mm-hmm. So what's this going to do to your career? Where is it going to go from here?
Hopefully it's going to help a lot. And in terms of maybe securing some more in sponsorships and for touring and some bigger shows hopefully be able to make things happen so that I can afford to go in the studio and record again. And, you know, I've already been getting a lot of phone calls and a lot of offers since then. So I have a really good feeling about it.
That's awesome.
Oh, so we get, I'm going to roll you through some of those and let you talk about them. This is part of that. You get to do some shameless self-promotion and talk about yourself here.
Yeah, we're all so about shameless self-promotion around here.
So what are some of the sponsorships you got?
I'm very lucky to be working with Gibson Guitars. I know how hard it is to get in with them. So for that, I feel very, very blessed. That happened a couple of years ago. I've had that since the days that I was in Jagged Ian. We played a show for Gibson at the CES in Las Vegas, the Consumer Electronics Show. We got to open for George Thorogood, and they ended up giving us a bunch of guitars and T-shirts and hats and just all kinds of Gibson gear. And then they were taking some pictures that night. They ended up using me for the Gibson Goddess campaign,
which
was their new guitar for that they actually built for women for a lot of reasons. One is it has a particularly small neck for girls with small fingers like mine, and so it was perfect for me, and it got me a lot of worldwide exposure with that. And so now I have a really great relationship with them. I'm very lucky for that, that I have a sponsorship with them. And then Bitch Straps, which they're really great straps that I work with them, really high quality leather, and they have this special feature that makes them very easily adjustable. A lot of times when you're on stage, it's really hard to adjust if things aren't right. And these have a special feature that help you to do that. So I like the bitch straps a lot. Tsunami cables. They have very, very durable, strong cables. Lucky to have a sponsorship with them too. So, you know, overall, I've been pretty lucky. I can't complain.
Oh, no. As, aside from the free gear, the recognition you get with that and the advertising mm-hmm. and everything. So what are, if you can talk about them, I realize some of these you don't want to talk about, so just not necessarily who, but what kinds of offers have you been getting since winning the Vegas Rocks?
Well, mostly for some tours coming up, which I can't mention names, but some pretty big tours coming up that I'm really excited about, and some shows, shows/tours that are going to take place in the summer. Some other female artists, that's all I can say right now.
It's okay.
So you got noticed.
Right.
Again.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully one of those tours brings you up through Montana.
Yeah, we'd love to have you up here.
I think it will.
I don't want to have to fly down to Vegas or out to Washington to see you. Although I would if you were playing while I was out there. I do make it out there.
Well, I don't think you'll have to.
Yay! That's
nice.
Awesome. Just bring your warm weather gear, okay? Especially like right now if you're touring within the next, well, 4 or 5 months.
No, if it's...
Oh, yeah, I know.
If you're out here in the summertime, try and work in a couple of days off, and you know, we'll get you out to see a little bit of Montana while you're here. It's really a beautiful place.
Yeah. We could even take you to Gibson Guitars in Bozeman, Montana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their factory. They had a factory. I don't know if they still do or...
I think they still do. Yeah. It's Repair Center now is what
it
is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there for a while, they were manufacturing their guitars right there in Bozeman, which is about 2 hours away.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, it's kind of a cool place out here. If you got someone that can show you around, don't do the touristy stuff. You know, that's you can look
we'll
in a magazine.
We'll show you the real Montana.
Yeah, the real Montana, where men are men and sheep are nervous.
I'm gonna hold you to that. You know.
Hey, I spent the whole last summer guiding whitewater rafts. So if you're out here during the summer and you got a day, I just may have to take you down a river or something.
Cool.
Go do that. That would be great with the next song that we've got here for you to play. Because, every time I get on the river, I'm not sure if I'm playing with the devil or if I'm talking to God.
So, maybe a little bit of both, Roy.
So this next one, Play Like the Devil, what's the story behind that one?
Okay, that one has a really good story, I think. That one is about kind of like about the music industry and... I was having a conversation one day about how the music industry is like being a woman and, you know, how we have to not only be able to, I'm going to sound like I'm preaching now.
Oh, I do it all the time.
Go ahead.
But I don't know. It just seems like with us, it's not enough to just be a master at your instrument. It's not enough to be good at what you do. It's like you got to be all that too. And you have to, you know, we have all these unrealistic images that we have to live up to in the media, you know, with all these amazing people like Beyonce and... you know, all these beautiful women that we have to look up to. And so it's not only do you have to be great at your instrument, but you got to be all that too, you know, and it's a lot of pressure. And one time we were having this conversation and we said, it's like you got to look like an angel and play like the devil. And I said, oh my God, that's a song.
Totally.
And, so that's what it's about. It's about having to look like an angel but play like the devil.
Oh, and I totally get what you're saying about the industry. I own a record label as well, and every time I have to deal with the larger industry, I feel like I'm shaking hands with the devil or crawling in bed with the dragon. I'm not sure which. It's and it takes more than being a good musician these days. You know, all the things that you said, and then along with that, with the electronic digital age, it's all about promotions. You've got to stay on top of your Twitter, on top of your Facebook, on top of your Reverb Nation, staying connected with the fans. If you do a video on YouTube, there's a certain number of views you have to hit with a YouTube video before anybody in the industry will actually even pay attention to it. And getting those views. I mean, at a million views on your music video on YouTube, somebody from the industry is going to contact you about a deal. And if you do it twice in a row, you're going to get a deal. But it's just crazy that it's all come down to that. And it takes more these days than just being a very talented artist. There's so many very talented artists out there. And there's just so much more to it. It's almost impossible for a person to do it on their own.
Yeah, it's so visual. And
it is a lot of work. It's a whole lot of work.
It is. I think the pressure on today's artists is just immense. Not only do you have to have the talent, yes, but you have to practically have a PhD in marketing and look the role and, you know, do everything the right way. And I can't imagine what kind of pressure that is.
I like the old days of meeting people face-to-face and handing out flyers and stapling things up on light posts and taking them in windows. It was a lot easier and a lot more rewarding because you got to talk to people as you were doing it and promote your show and stuff like that. It seemed easier.
Well, you definitely got to love it because if you don't love it, it's really hard to want to keep fighting for it every day, you know?
Right.
It's that passion. You got to have the passion for it. You definitely do. So you got to look like an angel and play like the devil. Okay.
Oh,
I gotta disagree with some of the lyrics of that song.
Okay.
I personally think you're an angel.
But you do play the hell out of that guitar.
Yep. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So that was a weird side conversation we had during that song.
Very weird.
Cats.
Cats. Here she is playing
cats, this dead mice. Yeah.
here she is playing this terrific, all these terrific guitar licks and just playing the hell out of that thing. And we're sitting here going, yeah, you know, my cat, he doesn't know what to do with mice. And then Roy's talking about his cat who brought him presents every morning. And
yep. Little does the general public know what really goes on when a song's playing at a radio station.
Never tell.
I'll let out one secret, because this one's from way back in the 70s. If you're ever listening to a radio station and the DJ plays Inagata DeVita, he's going out back to get high, or he's in the bathroom. Yeah. Under the
he's
two.
Pooping.
Wow.
Same thing with Hey Jude by the Beatles.
Yeah.
I mean, that song just goes on forever.
Them long, you know, 12-minute
songs. It's a great song. I'm not criticizing. Yeah. Oh, God, no. But, oh, my God. I think Paul McCartney's still singing that na 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 part.
You just had to do that to me. We're all going to think of that now.
Sorry.
Yeah. Everybody's got it on their brain now.
I specialize in earworms. Sorry.
Somewhere over the rainbow. No. I'll give you another one to think about. So what do you got coming up in the near future for shows and things? What's happening in the near future?
Okay, well, in the very near future, making another trip to Las Vegas, playing at Vamped on January 17th with a couple of amazing bands, both female-fronted. One of them is called Marigold. She's an amazing singer. And the other one is the Ronnie Lee Group, who is based out of San Diego, California. And so, yeah, got that coming up on January 17th. And then from there, going to do a show in San Diego with Ronnie Lee again. Then after that, we're going to NAMM. Yay! So much fun.
I'm jealous.
And we're going to spend probably about a week there and doing some shows there at NAMM. And just building more connections and having fun and partying. And then it's on to the next thing after that, which I don't know yet.
So I get it. I'm going to stray a little bit. So looking at your Facebook and everything, you do have another in your life. What are his thoughts on, you know, you being this big rock star and out playing and everything all the time? Does he think that's pretty cool?
Yeah, he does. I'm really lucky that he's so supportive and patient, because I think it's probably so hard to be married to someone like me. because the reason I say that is because it's such a demanding career, you know, like all those things that we were talking about, you know, a couple of minutes ago. It's just very demanding, and you got to have a lot of patience and understanding through all that, because it takes so much of your time and energy and investment.
And passion.
And then also, you know, because it you have to be able to interact with fans and have someone who is okay with that, considering that 73% of my fans are males between the age of 35 and 55. That's an actual statistic.
I resemble that remark.
I don't, but I'm still a fan.
So I think that you just, you know, you have to have a lot of patience and be very secure in your with yourself, you know, to be able to be in a relationship with someone who's in the music industry.
It's notorious for breaking up marriages and families of all sorts and friendships and everything else. So that's that is a juggling act to be able to keep all that going. And, you know, my hat's off to him for being that supportive for you. Definitely, yeah, is.
That's awesome.
That is really
props
awesome.
Props to him.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
He's sitting there listening to all this, isn't he?
Actually, no. He gets kind of bored with this kind of stuff.
You know, my husband is a musician too, and I kind of understand both sides of it. But you know, yeah. There's just sometimes, and not that I'm saying anything about you at all, but there are times when, like, he does a show or he's promoting something or he's playing something, I'm like, I have heard this, I'm going away.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, in a lot of the shows that I put on, you know, with bands that were signed to us, there was a point in time with a couple of the bands where we were doing so many shows where I was just kind of like, okay, I just want to get to the show and get it over with. I've heard this so many times that tonight I'm just not in the mood to hear it again. Even though I love the music, mm-hmm. and everything, I just wanted a night away from it all.
Do you ever make up alternative lyrics to the song? Because that's what I'll do sometimes. Some of them printable, yeah. Some of them not.
Yeah, it's a tiring, daunting task, all of it. Being the artist, being, you know, the person in a relationship with an artist, all of it. You know, it takes a lot of work. It's a challenge. And, yeah, kudos to anybody that survives all of that. That is a really beautiful thing.
He totally deserves those kudos.
Yep, oh, definitely.
Sure. Make sure and tell him that, too. You tell him that Roy and Tammy from the Earthship said, you deserve all the kudos you get.
Yeah. And
he's going to listen to it afterwards and probably blush.
You'll have to let me know if he does. Send me a message and let me know what his reaction is. Oh, definitely. But yeah, you know, as supporting you and getting the music out there so that we can listen to it, so you can do shows like this, you know, go on tour, those kinds of things. That's just great. So, you know, what are you looking at as far as career-wise? Are you looking at getting signed with a label or just continue on touring, doing what you're doing? What are your dreams?
Well, of course, my dream is to get signed onto a label and tour and do the whole thing.
I hope so.
of course, that's what I would dream of. That's what I dream of doing. But, you know, I love performing over anything, over everything is that has to do with the music industry. And there's so many parts of it that are fun that I enjoy, you know, recording, writing, hanging out afterwards, and the social aspect of it. But the thing that I love more than anything is performing. I mean, I literally get off on performing. It's just the time that I feel the most confident, the most powerful. And I just can't describe it. So to me, even if I just end up doing a lot of touring and playing everywhere, I mean, I'll just perform till the day I die, you know, and I'll love doing it. But do I want to get signed and have the, you know, the whole package? Of course. But even if I don't, I'm still going to keep playing. I'm just never going to stop.
I hope so, because when you get ready to pull out, you know, put out a full-length CD and do your CD release and,
absolutely,
you know, your CD release party and all that kind of stuff, we'd love to have you back here for that CD release. Definitely.
All right.
Just spend an evening and go through the new CD. And I know you're not far away from it. You're working on it, but yeah, you can keep the details of that for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't expect you to spill all your secrets tonight.
So Vegas, San Diego coming up, then looks like you're going to be going on tour, hopefully make it out to our part of the country. And anything else, any other plans or opportunities coming up?
Working on going in the studio and recording a full length CD is number one priority, actually. And then, of course, with that, you know, getting another video. And I think that now that I have made some big strides over in Las Vegas, not just Las Vegas, but just in general, I think that it's an even bigger possibility that that will be able to happen soon.
Great. Who are you going to be recording with as far as the studio, or do you know yet?
Not sure yet. I have a couple of ideas, but not sure yet.
I was going to say, we have a great studio out here.
Yeah.
Vacation time. Lock yourself in a studio for a few days and come out with an album. Yep, there you go.
Yeah. Not much of a vacation.
We got lots of ramen noodles. We'll
feed you. All right. Hey, that's all you need, ramen noodles and coffee, right?
All right.
Ramen noodles and coffee keep you going for weeks.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what got me through college.
Yep. So, God, I almost wanted to lead into this a little bit ago when we were talking about your husband and everything else and just all the passion and stuff, but love at first feel. That's what, when we get done here tonight, that's what we're going to wind up with. What? Not even sure if I want to ask you inspiration for that, but go for it.
Well, it's a love song about my guitar. I was really channeling Bon Scott in that one. If you know how Bon Scott writes, you'll know what I mean. He always had a double meaning for everything. And I just really felt like I was channeling him through that. But anyway, I was really just trying to make it a song about, like, I was, what's the word I'm trying to find? Double
entendre?
Yeah, talking about my guitar, but, I could be talking about something else too. You could take it either way, That's basically what that song is, really. There's not really much to it other than that.
I'm going to really contain myself and say I'm not going to go there.
All right.
I really want it.
I'm going to put that down on my calendar. First day I've ever seen Roy not go there.
Yeah. it's taken everything I got.
Well,
I may hurt myself here.
Love songs can be written about anything. And love is such a powerful theme, but it's at the same time, it's so simple. You can love just about anything. And to write a love song to your guitar, I think that's kind of nice. I think it's kind of, well, not nice. I hate that word. Nice. But it's sweet in a way, because when you're a musician and you have that sort of passion, that passion comes out through your instrument, be it your voice, your guitar, your keyboard, whatever you're playing. And so it's normal and awesome to be in love with whatever instrument you might be playing. I think that's terrific.
And like in the first verse, it talks about my girl is quite spectacular. She's nothing like the rest. Well, I'm kind of telling you, well, it's not really what you think I'm singing about,
Uh-huh.
And then she lifts me up and it's like how I feel when I'm on stage playing. She lifts me up and with her electric kiss. So there's a lot of double meaning.
Sure.
When I lay my hands on her, she puts me to the test, because it's not always easy. It's kind of challenging, But you'll just have to listen to the words.
I'm going to have to, because hopefully I'm waiting for the love song that will erase a certain memory from my mind. And
we're all waiting for that song.
Yeah, that memory is, from some time, when was it? I think about 96, 97, when Motley Crue came to Billings and played at the Metro. And halfway through the show, they said, we're going to do a love song, and ours is a lesbian love song. And what ensued after that between the lesbians they had on the stage got them banned from forever playing in Billings, Montana again. Because all these old rockers took their kids to the show, say, come on, Junior, let's go. Yeah. You can see what Mom and Dad rock too.
We heard about that one for weeks.
Oh, yeah. It was. So I need a good love song that will
erase that
from my mind, because I just can't get rid of it.
I've heard like a lot of different musicians sang love songs to their instruments. Eric Clapton, "While My Guitar Gently Weeps." Yeah. That was the Beatles, wasn't it? But it was Eric Clapton playing. And I think even on her first album, the late, great Amy Winehouse did a song about her guitar called "Cherry." And it sounds like she's left her boyfriend for another woman. But then at the very end, she says, "It's my guitar." You know, and that is, you know, it's a perfectly normal, wonderful thing. And like I said, that's where your passion is. And that's the instrument that you use to express that passion. So it's only natural to have some sort of connection, love connection, or what will you, to that.
I can't think anything you'd be much more intimate with than your instrument.
Exactly. For real. Not even joking.
Knock it off, Tammy. Sean's looking at me too. Forget your damn double entendre there.
The day that I have
your musical instrument.
You should have clarified that first, Roy. I am so sorry, my dear. This interview has denigrated to a different level.
Oh, man.
The kind of day I've had, my mind is base level in the gutter, so I apologize, Roy.
Listen to what I'm saying, what I mean.
It was a double entendre, and you know it.
That's the word I was trying to think of. How do you say that?
Entendre.
Entendre. Double entendre.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the word I was trying to find.
There you go.
I enjoy listening to her instrument.
Okay, that's acceptable. Voice. Yes, that's acceptable.
Just because I love good guitar playing.
She's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk about you like you're not here, but you're awesome.
Oh, it's about that time Sean's pointing his fingers at me. I gotta name our sponsors for the show here. For putting on the airship, we've got a few people to help sponsor the show. Legendary Tattoo here in town, come all the way to you from the House of Ink in Venice Beach in Detroit and Idaho. They got some great talent down there doing a special right now, giving away $1,000 in free tattoos. So stop in at the shop and find out the details on that. Yellowstone Valley Brewing, they keep us in beer around here. Some great dark beer that we usually have, and brew some wonderful gin and vodka too.
Nom, nom, nom,
yeah, sit down. When you drink that stuff. And Yellowstone Valley Cellars, Billings, Montana's own winery.
Yes.
And they don't brew, they ferment.
That's
wine.
Right.
I got corrected on that. Ooh. A while back. It's fermenting
home of
their
the
wine.
Rimrock Red, that is just amazing.
So we'd like to thank them for helping make the show possible here and all the other shows on MT Radio. Tune in, check them out. The Soul Inside Unseen Wednesday nights. Got the Intel Scanner on Tuesday nights. Got Demanding Progress on Saturdays. Ralphie's World of Music all the way from Australia on Saturday nights. And Mistresses of Mayhem, we've got them, syndicated show brought in. And before long, you'll be able to hear this very show on Radio UK out of London. We'll be rebroadcast there after the first of the year, so you can catch us overseas at a different time in a different time zone and confuse things even more.
Yes, we're two countries separated by a common language.
Yes. So I'd definitely like to thank you for being here tonight, Leona. Appreciate it so much. And thank you for all your wonderful music.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure, really. I love doing this kind of stuff.
Leona, this was a great time.
Yep, it definitely was. So I'm about to get the countdown here. We talked about it a whole bunch. I'm going to go for Love at First Feel and getting ready to hear that guitar. And I know everybody's going to be as in love with it as I am. So thank you so much again, Leona. Have a wonderful night.
Leona.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Drug, I can't resist. She lifts me up and sets me off of her electric. just touched her.